The striking man with the thin mustache and the beret who helped bring Fidel Castro to power in Cuba is again the flavor of the day in America. 37 years after his death, Che Guevara continues to be a hit on U.S. campuses and at political rallies. And now, Hollywood is banking on his likeness and legend. Commentator Marcelo Balve says his Argentine family's neighbors, the Guevaras, set an unusual tone for Che's future fame.
My grandfather, before he died, told me his own repertoire of stories about the Che Guevara he knew when Che was even younger than the 20-something traveler portrayed in the new film, The Motorcycle Diaries.
The plan, 5,000 miles in 4 months.
Even people with sketchy knowledge of Che's biography know he came from Argentina's upper classes. That bit of biography accounts for one of the clichés that have begun to cling to Che's popular image. When young people the world over plaster Che's posters on university walls or wear his face on their t-shirts, they're often paying homage to an idol who purged the baggage of his privileged upbringing to become a, quote, pure revolutionary. This notion may be convenient to the manufacturer of the Che myth, but as a recent biography documented, it doesn't exactly fit. According to my grandfather's stories, it may be that the revolutionary in Che owes as much to his parents as it does to the forging fires of history or experience. My grandfather was a contemporary of Che's, and their families became acquainted in the 1930s and 1940s in Altagracia, a small resort town in Argentina's central sierras. My grandfather remembered Che as a rambunctious rapscallion, a grade schooler who, despite his asthma, was notorious for his mischief. Che's parents were eccentrics, almost misfits. They'd eloped and married against the wishes of their families when Che's mother was pregnant. The Guevaras had a much more hardscrabble, idiosyncratic lifestyle than your typical Buenos Aires aristocrats. Che's mother, for one, used a long cigarette holder, slicked her hair back so that it stuck to her skull, wore unladylike trouser suits, and drove the family's dilapidated convertible herself through the town streets. Che's father was a cerebral dreamer with a bit of a temper. He applied his temper in an episode that is still part of oral tradition around Altagracia. During World War II, a group of Argentina's Nazi sympathizers gathered regularly at a hotel to hear broadcasts from Europe. Che's father was an ardent aliadófilo, as partisans of the Allies were known, and with friends carried out a raid on the hotel. They scaled the hotel's roof to disable the radio antenna, and then, for good measure, they slashed the tires of the cars parked outside. Despite his bravura, Che's father never found real success, and the Guevaras weren't wealthy, whatever their pedigree. Che happened to be born in Rosario, upriver from the capital, because his parents stopped there hurrying back to Buenos Aires from a plantation they tried to run in Argentina's still wild northern frontier. In his pursuit of the frontier lifestyle, Che's father, Ernesto Guevara Lynch, was following in the footsteps of his own grandparents, who lived in Gold Rush-era California. The Motorcycle Diaries shows that the real Che wasn't just the steely-eyed leftist icon in beret and olive uniform. Closely examined, Che's background reveals an even deeper lesson for activists who wield his image. Sometimes, models for rebellion are closer at hand than one may imagine.
Marcelo Balve is an editor with the Pacific News Service and a contributor to station KALW in San Francisco.